Long before tech workers flocked to the shiny new apartments of Seattle and Bellevue, the Northwest offered a different kind of workforce housing. Logging camps were ready-made towns that lumber companies built specifically for loggers and their families deep in the woods. The last of those camps closed 30 years ago, but the people who lived there, they're still around. And while they can't ever move back to the place where they grew up, they also never really fully left. 88.5's Will James has more.
It's a cool morning in the Olympic National Forest. The only sound for a few miles is a handful of people walking down a gravel path between the trees.
I'm looking at pictures all month.
One of those people is Ruth Daly. She looks out of place in the forest in a bright yellow dress, and she's holding her father's ashes in a little box. Ruth is here to scatter the ashes in the woods, but not just any woods. These woods, they used to be a town called Grisdale. People lived here deep in the forest, cutting trees, raising children. One of those children was Ruth.
I moved here in 69, and I think we left in 78, because the Grisdale was getting ready to close down.
Before Grisdale shut down, it was like a little diorama of small town America. A neat grid of houses all painted white with green trim, a two-room schoolhouse, and kids running around everywhere.
We didn't have a whole lot of television to watch. We just played out in the woods, in the ball field. We had a rec hall where we can go roller skating. They had a two-lane bowling alley. It was so old that you had to run down the alley, pick up all the pins and put it back up.
Lots of people are nostalgic about childhood, but people from Grisdale take it to another level. You hear again and again about how growing up here was the best time of their lives. But when people like Ruth go back to try to recapture the feeling of living here, it was like the place never existed. Not a plank of lumber is left. It's just trees.
So that was the rec hall back there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all this forest has grown in 30,
oh, yeah.
40 years.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Found another.
The rec hall was nice. Back there. Behind that was the old store, and it had one phone in Grisdale. You cranked it.
Like a little house of
Then you picked up the receiver, and if you touched both of them at the same time, you get shocked. You pick it up, and you get the operator immediately. There's no dial. And all of us kids would go up there, crank it, pick up the receiver. What time is it? Just to talk to somebody outside of Grisdale.
Ruth goes off to scatter her dad's ashes, and I catch up with Debbie Dobson, who's walking up ahead. She's on her own pilgrimage with her two grandkids and her mom. Debbie grew up in Grisdale. Her mom was the bus driver who took kids out of the forest into town when they got to high school. Debbie's dad was the camp administrator. They fight through the underbrush and stop at a big moss-covered tree where they scattered his ashes a few months ago.
Oh, your flower? You have to put it there for great-grandpa? They said, why are his ashes green? And I said, he's growing. It's moss, and he's giving new life. Yep, this was a tree that we used to climb in our yard. That's why we picked the tree.
Debbie's mom, Pat, is watching her great-grandkids play around the base of the tree.
They talk about him all the time, too, so makes it nice.
Why did you choose to put his ashes in Grisdale?
Because we enjoyed living up here, and this is the only spot that we lived in, one spot, for more than, I'm going to say, 5 years. We lived up here for 20. We were married for 56 and a half years.
You know, most people can go back to where they grew up. They can go back to their homes, but we can't. This is all we have. It's all grown up with trees now.
Yeah.
When you guys were living here, was it this quiet or could you hear the logging?
You'd only hear logging trucks during the day, but at night it was quiet. I mean,
you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah.
No dogs barking or anything. When somebody got hurt or somebody had gotten killed, I would come into town and the camp with a school bus, and I'd open the door
were the first bunch of kids to get out of. And no dogs were barking or anything. I said to myself, there's been a bad accident. And there was one time that one guy got killed, and the superintendent, Bud Dietrich, said some more, come on, you're going with me. And he didn't know it till he pulled up in front of this girl's house that had two little kids. And they got out, and they had to go in and tell her.
You grew up in kind of an unusual circumstance, you know? Do you think it affected your personality now?
Oh, definitely.
How so?
I think I appreciate the outdoors more. I appreciate friends, because up here we were so close. I mean, 45, 47 families. Everybody knew and everybody. And like Mom said, if somebody needed help, it didn't matter if you were fighting or not. You all got along and you helped. And that's just the way I am.
A mile up the road in a picnic area, there's a whole Grizzdale reunion going on. People are here from all over the Northwest. I caught up with Ruth again. She had just scattered her dad's ashes in the woods. And I asked her what it felt like to leave Grizzdale and join the rest of the world when she was 13.
Well, I was confused for when we first moved to Shelton. It was hard for me because I had no sense of direction. Living in the woods, you'd think you'd have a sense of direction. When I got in the big school, I was lost. And the teachers didn't understand quite what Grizzdale was. I begged, please just take me back up to Grizzdale.
When do you feel like you got your bearings?
I never did in Shelton. I had such a horrible time in school. I ended up leaving and going and getting my GED. I just couldn't handle it.
Lots of people here feel like that. Chris Welch has a long career at Boeing behind him, but he still talks about the shock of leaving Grizzdale like it just happened.
I knew all my friends were here. It really hurt to move. The hustle and bustle of a big city took me a while to get used to, because and the big city to me was Sumner, Washington. That's where we moved to.
Lavina Jenkins had to move her family out of Grizzdale when her husband died in 71. Even though her husband's job was the whole reason she was living in the woods, she didn't want to leave.
I had five children, and this was the love of their life. And I have one in Texas that whenever he comes home to visit, he has to come up here and camp for a couple days.
When you're thinking back to the place where you grew up, it can be hard to tell where reality ends and nostalgia begins. In Grizzdale, that's extra hard, because nostalgia is all that's left. Here's Ruth again.
This was the happiest place that we had.
My
Uncle Dan, I talked to him just recently. He was crying on the phone. He misses it so bad.
She says if she could buy Grizzdale and let everyone live there again, she would. There's no laugh. There's not a hint she's joking.